Welcome to episode 57 of the Golf Talk Podcast, brought to you by thesandtrap.com. This is Eric Brzezinski in Pennsylvania. Joining me this week, Jack in New Jersey. Jeff has the week off. Hello, Jack.
Welcome from New Jersey.
Glad to be there. Not. Tiger Woods, this is episode 57 of the Golf Talk Podcast. As I said, Tiger Woods won his 57th PGA Tour event this weekend, the Wachovia Championship, played at Quail Hollow, of course. An interesting day. Coverage opened with Tiger making a 60-foot eagle putt after the ball being, what was it? It was about 6 to 8 to maybe 10 inches below his feet in the right-hand rough near one of the creeks.
Yeah, unbelievable shot. I mean, forget the fact he used a 7-iron to hit it 150,000 yards, but considering the lie that he hit it out of, I just don't know how he does that stuff. It's mind-blowing. It really is.
He played to the safe side of the green, leaving himself that 57. I think it was a 57-foot putt, so we got some convergence this week, Jack.
Well, we did. I mean, it doesn't hurt to be lucky, and, you have to consider that putt lucky. But the shot to the green was just otherworldly. You know, nobody can do that except him, I guess.
And that's how he started coverage. Of course, then Tiger went on a little run for a little while, kind of pulled ahead. He got to 15 under, I believe, at one point, while the nearest guy was at 12 under, had a 3-shot lead, double bogeyed a hole, basically made a mess of things coming in, as did all the leaders. Tiger threw in a couple birdies to maintain his lead, but Steve Stricker, Vijay Singh, many others had a chance.
And they didn't get it done. And what amazed me so much was that, and I never quite figured it out. I watched it, after I taped it this morning. And I couldn't figure out if it was the golf course that was just that tough, or whether these guys were just melting down in the heat of competing against Tiger. Tiger didn't do that well coming in after all the birdies. That double bogey was not a thing of beauty, certainly. But right. I couldn't get a handle on this tournament. I couldn't tell if it was the course that was that tough.
I think we'll have a little bit more to say about it later, but I think it was a combination. Steve Stricker had a chance on 18. He needed par or birdie would have helped. Flat pull hooks one with his approach shot. That's a combination of not the course. He had a decent line, into the green, put it somewhere on the green and make a putt or two putt. And he put some pressure back on Tiger, who went bogey to finish the previous day. So no pressure there in that particular shot, just a flat out gag almost or something.
Well, exactly. And Vijay pulled pretty much the same thing. I mean, what did he end up shooting? He making 7 on the 18th hole or something like that?
Yeah.
Triple
bogey's the last hole.
You can't be doing that stuff. I guess that's where it comes from. I don't know if it was a meltdown in their brains. The way Stricker was swinging there in the last few holes, though, I mean, his backswing looked as short as mine. And it looked like, a gag factor at work, no question about it. Vijay let's not leave Mickelson out of this equation either. I mean, he played his typical schizophrenic round.
He did, mixing 4 birdies with 2 bogeys.
Exactly.
But had to get up and down quite a number of times to do that. Vijay Singh shooting a final round 74 in a tournament. He's won Aaron Oberholzer, near contention, shooting a final round 74. Ken Duke, guy most you probably haven't heard of, but who's been playing well in the PGA Tour lately after graduating from the Nationwide Tour, a 73. Anthony Kim, one of the few guys that played well, a final round 70 to move into a tie for 5th, a 21-year-old Anthony Kim, who's been in the top 10 in pretty much every event he's been in this year. Stuart Sink, a final round 70, really moved up the leaderboard. He started the day T8 or something like that, moved up to T5. Rory Sabatini, a final round 74. Phil Mickelson moved up with a 70 from 7th to T3. Steve Stricker, a final round 69 to move from T5 to 2, but gagged it over the last. His last 4 holes were birdie, double bogey, birdie, bogey.
Yeah, it was just a complete meltdown. And actually, after the highlight of the whole televised event, I think, was the opening where Woods makes eagle, which is where he won.
Then he went birdie, bogey on a par 5 birdie. So 7 through 11 was an exciting stretch.
Yeah, exactly. And after that, it was all downhill.
But how many people turned the TV off after that birdie on 11 when Tiger took a 3-shot lead and said, well, it's over?
Well, exactly.
They were right, but how many people did that?
had you hung in there and watched him, I guess Stricker tied him with like 3 holes left to play or something like that. That was compelling, but not compelling because nobody, kept it up. And, Tiger playing the last hole with 2-stroke lead is not the most exciting television you can watch.
Have you ever seen so many putts lip out, too, in a tournament? It was incredible. Short putts were lipping out. Vijay Singh's 40-footer the day before lipped out on 18 to even go back a day. So,
well, I think it had to be partly just, you know, the alignment of the stars or something. But
the
think
speed
also
of the greens is supposed to be 12 or so as well. So
yeah, the greens were exceedingly quick, and I think they were cut, and that they were firm means that when the holes were cut, it was a knife-like edge on those cups, and hitting the edge got you nothing, except a lip out.
Right. Well, we'll give you something right after this message from Titleist, so stay with us.
At the tournament you're watching now.
At the tournament you're watching now.
More players trust Titleist.
More players trust Titleist.
Trust Titleist.
More players trust Titleist.
Than all other golf balls.
Than all other.
All other golf balls.
All other golf balls combined.
All other golf balls combined.
Welcome back. This week in our forum topic of the week, we're taking Club Swinger 21's topic. He talked about the downright unappealing, predictable, and boring finish at the Wachovia Championship, saying, same old, same old. Woods doubles 14 or 15 or whatever hole it was. Players crumble around him. It's pretty pathetic when players like Luke Donald say things like, one of my goals is to win every tournament I enter. Well, buddy, first step is to making the cut. Basically, he talks about how same old, Tiger Woods gets the lead, and everyone crumbles around him. Of course, the obvious thing is that it's not same old, because Tiger had the lead in the Masters, and not everyone crumbled around him. Was this a case of everyone crumbling around him because Tiger was in the lead, or do you think this was a case of something else? Of course, playing tough. The winds were certainly up on Sunday.
Well, I think the venue was miserable that day. I think the winds were treacherous. You know, if you watch the telecast at all, you could see Woods hesitating long, long moments before committing to the shot. You know, the winds were swirling. I think it was actually windier than it appeared on television. And I think it was as much the course, you know, getting back to what I said earlier, in my analysis, it's as much of the course as it was the players crumbling. I think in some cases, like Stricker, I think he did crumble. I think, you know, there was a definite choke in action there on that last hole, at least.
The double bogey before it.
Yeah, and on 17 as well. And so Stricker aside, but I think when you go down the list of contenders, Mickelson was never in contention, really. He kind of sneaked into third place. Sabatini just, you know, had a horrible back nine. And
Singh is not prone to choking, and yet a final round 74.
Exactly. And, you know, when you look at Woods, too, you know, the double bogey Woods made shows me that it was as much the course as it was, you know, people crumbling around him.
Hey, here's just a side note here. Tiger Woods extends his lead in the official world golf rankings to 20.77. versus number two, Jim Furyk, at 7.61. Phil Mickelson is in third, just 0.01 points behind Jim Furyk. What's odd to me, just looking at this list, is that Vijay Singh, with two wins this year already, is at 6.15, while Ernie Els in seventh place, while Ernie Els is two spots ahead of him in fifth, without having won on the PGA Tour in a long time.
Well, yeah. And
I'm not quite sure I understand that one, but
I don't, you know, the math on the whole world rankings completely escapes me.
We'll be right back again after this message. Stay tuned.
I'm working on making everything I look at
something new all the time.
Winning my first major.
Another green jacket.
I'm working on my signature.
Hitting it this close.
Chest to the target.
Staying positive after every shot.
More wins.
More birdies.
More eagles.
Just having more fun.
Beating the rest of these guys.
I'm working on a bunch of stuff.
Thinking less.
I'm not telling.
Even the world's best want to be better. That's why there's the new Pro V1 and Pro V1X.
And welcome back. Our fourth story in beating balls this week. Why Wachovia is where it's at, by Ron Syrek at golfdigest.com, at ESPN or whatever. We'll link to it in our show notes to check it out. I've seen some jokes that this was called the sixth major. Of course, the Players' Championship being the fourth, or the fifth out of four majors, sorry. But this being the sixth major, it's a hot contest for who is seventh. But he makes the point that the Wachovia Championship drew all the top 10 golfers and 27 of the top 30, primarily because it's kind of an if you build it, they will come. And in a short amount of time, the Wachovia Championship at Quail Hollow has become a very, you know, the tournament to play in that wasn't previously one of the tournaments to play in.
Well, and I think that relates to the course. I mean, if you contrast this with the course they played last week with the burnt out greens and nobody was there, and, you know, it was basically a piece of caca. You know, I think Vijay Singh called it a disgrace, and he was being charitable. You know, this is a great course, and I think Tom Fazio's maligned a lot, but I think he did a wonderful job on this golf course. And to see year after year people like Retief and Stricker and Vijay hit into that little bitty creek, you know, on the left side of that green on 18.
They said it was 8 feet wide, but I mean, at points, I saw players hopping across, and I'm sorry, but no player's got a little 8 foot hop. So right. At points, it's even narrower than that.
Exactly. But how wonderfully strategically placed was that, is that thing. And, you know, just looking at the golf course, it's such a great test. It lets them bomb drives if they've got the nerve. It was interesting to watch Woods hit 3 wood so many times.
Well, 17, he hit driver many times and found himself in trouble.
Exactly, exactly. And one day maybe he'll grow up and get as smart as Tiger is.
No.
But whatever. But that's open to conjecture, as you just...
A lot of people said bad things about the players that chose to skip the Byron Nelson because it was a whole celebrating Byron Nelson thing. And a lot of the top players who skipped it talked badly about for choosing to skip it. But this is a case, again, where, you know, if you build a good course, the players will show up. It's you know, the PGA Tour is a business, and sentimentality has some role, but... when it comes to, you know, changing your entire plans, especially with this tournament and the players being back-to-back, you know, Tiger Woods, if he were to show up at the Byron Nelson, would play 3 weeks in a row. And quite honestly, when do you ever see him do that?
Well, I think that's a good point. I think, you know, the change in schedule was huge this year. And I think that hugely impacted the Byron Nelson field. I think, you know, a lot of guys didn't want to play 3 weeks in a row. And getting back to what I said earlier about Furyk, he may not have been too disappointed that he got to go home on... You know, I think that's part of it. And I think, you know, we talked about it last week, but that course at the Byron Nelson was just, that was pitiful and a disgrace. And
dog poop.
Exactly.
All right, moving on. I made a reference to the fact that many people call the Players, that's all it's called now, the Players, no championship at the end, just the Players, is the fifth, again, out of four majors. It's certainly a big tournament. It certainly draws a big field and a good field. Is it the fifth major? Should we care? I mean, in my opinion, there's only four majors, and that's all there should be, and that's that. Grand Slams have four runs. You win the Grand Slam in golf, it should be four tournaments, not five. I think it's a good tournament, and there's no problem having a second-tier, you know, top-shelf-type tournament. Your thoughts on that, Jack?
Well, I think it's not a major. And even to call it a fifth major, I think, is elevating it too much. Here's what I think. It is obviously the best field all year. It is the strongest, deepest, most qualified field. As someone put, there's no auto dealership owners or amateurs or club pros in the event. And I think that was a little harsh, but it's true. It's the very best field in golf. Does that make it a major? No.
It's played on a good course, we'll be honest there. It's played on certainly a course that's well known and certainly tests the Players.
As I wrote in something, it'll show up on the site on Thursday, you know, in my predictions, I'm not a real fan of the TPC at Sawgrass. I think Pete Dye on steroids is not my favorite kind of golf course to watch, much less play. You know, it's fun to watch the carnage on the 17th hole, but after that, it just, you know, it strikes me as a plastic Florida pink flamingo. I mean,
okay.
I
think it will be interesting to see how much of an impact the fast and firm conditions, because the course, as I understand it, was originally built to basically allow balls to run through not only the fairways but the rough and into those waste bunkers and hazards. And lately, with the rough being kind of thick and all that thatch and stuff, balls have been stopping. They haven't been bouncing or rolling as much, so they've been staying out of a lot of those hazards. Players have been playing from the rough or the fairways. They should be playing from the waste bunkers for hitting that kind of shot. So I think that'll be interesting to see.
Well, it's going to be real interesting. I agree with you completely there. I can't wait to watch it, because not only that, but, you know, the greens have all been recontoured. And all the memories they have of breaks and where to hit it and, you know, the proper place to hit it, they're going to have to be paying a lot of attention in their practice rounds, because it's a whole different animal. You know, it's a different grass strain. It's altogether different.
It's a new Bermuda that supposedly doesn't have much grain. So
exactly.
It's interesting to see. There's you know, the TPC without grain in southern Florida or northern Florida is going to be interesting. Fitness versus fatness.
Well, okay. You know, as a heavy older guy, let me just say that my heroes are Cal Kvecchia and Stadler and Lumpy and, you know, Tim Herron, as he's known, and all those guys. There's no reason you have to be as ripped as Camila Vallejos or Tiger Woods to play.
Oh, what's Camila won?
Well, exactly. Exactly. And my boy, Tel Kavakian won this year. So what can I say? I'm a dying breed. The obvious thing is that there's so much money in golf that if you're good enough to play in the PGA Tour and you want to maximize your earnings, you're going to go to that fitness trailer every opportunity you have. At the same time, I miss the Billy Caspers and Julius Boroses. And,
well, along with that, you missed the days of pros having their own swings. Now everyone looks almost the same. Back in the old day, guys had to swing around their bellies or figure out some way to get the club to the ball. And it didn't always look the same.
Well, look at Stadler's swing even today. I mean, you got to wonder how he can hit it, but boy, he does. And,
right.
You know, he's still an excellent golfer. One of my favorite stories is Faxon on an airplane walking past Chichi Rodriguez, who was up in first class, and Faxon's walking by him, and Chichi stops him and said, "Where are you going?" He says, "Well, back to coach." He said, "Well," and he pays the stewardess and has Faxon sit up front, and he's talking to him. He says, "You know, I've seen you in that trailer. What are you doing in there?" In fact, since I said, "Well, you know, I'm working out." And Chichi says, "Don't do that. It's going to ruin you."
Oh, see, I think Gary Player, an old-time player himself, would probably disagree with that.
Indeed. And how well is Player still playing at his age, right?
All right. Well, that about does it for episode 57 of the Golf Talk podcast, celebrating Tiger Woods' 57th win with a 57-foot eagle putt. I had to get all those references there together. Check out our show notes online at thesandtrap.com. We publish every Wednesday, of course. For Jack, this is Eric saying, ta-ta for now. Talk to you next week.
Bye-bye, all.